Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick onto the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Now when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council and all the senate of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find them in the prison, so they returned and reported, "We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. And someone came and told them, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain with the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. And when they had brought them, they set before them the council. And the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charged you not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and saviour to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law held in honour by all people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice, and when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonour for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ.
Thank you, Naomi. Please keep your Bibles open at that passage as we look at it together. I want to begin by asking you guys a question. What is the most controversial reason that you can think of that someone can be arrested for today? Just have a moment to think about that. What is the most controversial reason you can be arrested for today? And feel free to shout any ideas out if you have them.
Speaking the truth.
Speaking the truth. Well, yeah, any other suggestions?
Parents or teachers taken to court over decisions about how you might parent your children, what you might teach them, or teaching
schools and lessons. Yeah. Let me give you a couple of things that I thought about as I was flicking through the news. So I don't know if you remember what happened to Graham Linehan in Heathrow Airport probably last year, I think it was, maybe a couple of years ago. Well, Graham Linehan, he landed in Heathrow Airport from a flight from Arizona, and as soon as he landed, five armed police officers arrested him for hate speech on Twitter or X. Don't know if you remember that. And even just last week, the Met Police issued an apology statement to Graham Linehan for that arrest. as it was slight overkill. Now, setting his comments aside as to what he said on X, you can see there it doesn't warn the need of 5 armed police officers to arrest somebody. Naomi shared with me the news of something that happened in Richmond last October. A woman was fined £150 for pouring coffee down a public drain before she got on the bus. Some of you are freaking out. You probably think, I've done that. I know I've poured worse than the drain. But that fine has since been overturned. Common sense has prevailed. But it's interesting that, you know, Brian, you say they're speaking the truth or disagreeing with somebody. What we've seen lately is a latest series of arrests that have happened across the UK and in the US over the news. Arrests where people have been taken into custody for saying that Jesus is Lord, preaching the gospel. Now, these events aren't unusual. They actually happen around the rest of the world. And it's known that many Christians have been arrested and have suffered for proclaiming that Jesus is Lord. Even just last September, Russian pastor Nikolai Romanyuk was sentenced to 4 years imprisonment after speaking out in opposition of the war against Ukraine. He did this in a sermon in 2022 at his local church in Moscow. Even in Manipur, India, there was a story that came out lately of a group of pastors who were ambushed and shot at by armed militants who claimed to be working for the government, all for their faith. Now, these things are shocking for us to hear. And whilst we aren't subjected to it as much in the West, we still hear stories of Christian networks being unable to hold an evangelistic event in the workplace because of the powers that be. Christians being frozen out of promotions or even losing their jobs because of their witness. And people being so offended by even the name of Jesus that they will do anything to shut it down. But in Acts chapter 5 here and in verses 12 to 42, our passage today shows us that the work and word of God cannot be stopped. Those who participate in his work, that is those who proclaim that Jesus is Lord, they will find joy in it no matter what. Now, I don't know if some of you have noticed that as we've read this, that the events in chapter 5, they feel very similar to the events in chapter 4. Peter and John in chapter 4 were detained by the religious leaders, and they were put in prison, they were released, they stood trial, and they proclaimed that Jesus is Lord. And we see the same happening here in chapter 5, and I think there's a spine that runs between the two of them that helps us to see that these events are linked, and they are also teaching us a similar message. Part of that message is that there is joy found in suffering for the sake of the gospel. And we're going to look at chapter 5 in more detail. And as we see this, hopefully we'll have confidence that although the gospel is offensive to some, it is precisely the proclamation of it that God will use to build his church. So we've got 3 points that we're going to look at here today. Firstly, the work of God grows the church, verses 12 to 16. The word of God cannot be arrested or imprisoned, verses 17 to 25. And finally, God's word is final. His work cannot be stopped, verses 28 to 39. So let's get stuck into this, shall we? Firstly, the work of God grows the church. Now, the events prior to this passage must have really shaken the wider Jerusalem community as the news goes out about Ananias and Sapphira, who were struck dead. We looked at this last week in Acts chapter 5. And just look at Acts chapter 5 verse 11. We see here that great fear came upon the church and upon all those who heard of these things. And so as we come into verse 12, we see a continuation of what's been happening here in Acts this entire time through the apostles. Now look at verse 12 with me here. Now many signs and wonders were being regularly done by among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest there joined them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord. Now we're reading this here, especially verse 12, and Luke is just wanting us to think, oh, that's exactly what the people were praying for in Acts chapter 4. If we look at Acts chapter 4, verses 29 to 30, just look at the other page there with me. Look at the prayer that the believers pray for there. They pray to God and ask them, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And we're seeing that is exactly what's happening here. The apostles are performing signs and wonders as they heal people. But as they do that, we are to see, Luke wants us to see here, that God is doing it through them. He is proving his power as Lord. And as the word is spoken with boldness, we see what the results are in verse 14. Not only were they respected and highly esteemed, the sign of integrity, although they were fearful of what God had done, they were holding him in awe. But verse 14, believers were being added to the Lord. Multitudes of men and women. It's extraordinary to see this, isn't it? Especially after the events of Ananias and Sapphira. And yet what we are seeing here is that God is at work as he fills and grows his church. His word is preached, the testimony of Jesus Christ. That word is backed up by signs and wonders. Something that we see here, not just in this prayer in chapter 4, but throughout the book of Acts, is descriptive of that moment in time. And people are being added to the church. All of it is the work of God who is growing his church. And this foundational truth is important for us to acknowledge, especially as we carry on looking through the passage. Because in a moment, the apostles will encounter opposition for their actions. Are they wrong to do so? When we hear about others who face opposition for the name of Jesus, are they wrong as well? Can their words for proclaiming Jesus be considered hate speech, like Graham Linehan's were? Well, what we see happening in verse 17 is that the apostles' teaching and God working through them causes jealousy to boil up inside the religious leaders. But despite the efforts of man, we see in our next point that the word of God cannot be arrested or imprisoned. Just look at what happens to the apostles in verse 17. But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out, and said, go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Now, the mechanics behind how the apostles got out of jail here, it's a mystery, I'll be honest. Did the angels drug the guards standing at the doors in verse 23? Most likely not. Did they put an invisibility cloak over the apostles, the same invisibility cloak from Harry Potter, and sneak them out? Probably not. But what we do know is that God broke them out because he wants them to go and tell people his word. Look at verse 20 again. The apostles are commanded to go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. These words being the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection. This life that everyone must know of. This is God's word. This is God's message to the world. And what's amazing about this is that those who are responsible for attempting to imprison God's word, the high priest and his band of merry men, they are, verse 24, greatly perplexed or flabbergasted when they find out that the jail cell that they put the apostles in is empty the next day. And what we see here is that no amount of security, be it a locked prison cell, guards stand by keeping watch, nothing can stop the apostles going to preach God's word. Because no matter what they, and that is the high priest, or any human being can do, we see here that the word of God cannot be arrested or imprisoned. The apostles here are setting a precedent here for the church. They are to encourage God's people throughout the years that no matter what happens to those who speak God's word and makes Jesus known, they will be safe. Now, they might face dangers, they might face all sorts of trials, but so long as they're proclaiming God's word, that God's word cannot be imprisoned or arrested. And even those who oppose the message of Jesus, his divine nature, his earthly ministry, and his death and resurrection, they will not prevail. Because the word of God cannot be imprisoned. This is a message that sustained Christians for centuries. Let me give you an example. In 1858, Scottish minister John G. Patton, he sailed to the South Pacific island of Tanna to go and tell the gospel to a group of aggressive cannibal tribes who were at war with each other. Anyone who went there in the past, they were clubbed to death and eaten. Fair. After 3 months, John's wife and his newborn son died of tropical fever. Now what John did is that he slept on their graves to protect them from being eaten by cannibal tribes. He himself faced numerous trials and he survived numerous attempts on his life himself. Later he fled the island and he landed on the neighboring island, Aniwa, where he met, surprise, surprise, more cannibal tribes. However, in faith, he proclaimed the gospel to them. That island abandoned cannibalism, turned to the Lord. And in turning to Christianity, the gospel then went from them, the indigenous tribes, back to the island of Tanna, where they heard about Jesus and came to faith. It's an amazing story, but it's a wonderful example to us of how God's word cannot be imprisoned by those who oppose it. Over the years, in any geographic location, whether it's Jerusalem, the South Pacific, or even here in London, God's word cannot be imprisoned. It will go out. Nobody can stop it. And we see the reason why in our last point, as we realize that God's word is final. His work cannot be stopped. The apostles are found in the temple here, as reported by the one who told the high priest and other religious leaders in verse 25. They say, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." The captain of the temple guard, being intimidated by the popularity of the apostles, he quietly asked them to come along to speak to the council. Now, as I mentioned earlier, this all feels very reminiscent of chapter 4. It is a similar chain of events occurring. But instead of just Peter and John, we see here that it's all 12 of the apostles who are standing under trial in verse 27. However, despite whatever protestations Annas the high priest makes, look at Peter and the apostles' answer in verse 29 with me. Peter says, "We must obey God rather than men. The same God who," verse 30, "raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God has exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins." Peter is saying to Annas, "We're not going to listen to you, high priest. We're going to listen to God." Why? Because Jesus matters more. Jesus matters more than Annas the high priest. Jesus matters more than even the temple that they were preaching in. Now, why is that? Well, the temple and the high priest, God's word tells us in the Old Testament, or in the New Testament, that they are pointing forward to Jesus actually being the fulfillment of both of these things. The temple, the high priest, they point forward to Jesus, who is God's leader and savior for his people. Jesus came and made himself known as a way for all the people to have a relationship with God. And despite man's actions, God's work cannot be stopped. Instead, it was fulfilled. The people killed Jesus by hanging him on a tree. But God has exalted him at his right hand to be savior and to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. This was God's work. And now through his death, Jesus offers a way for those in Jerusalem to repent, to turn to God, and to find forgiveness for rejecting him in the first place. And we see here in verse 32 that the apostles are not making this up. Verse 32, the apostles say, we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. We see here God's word from the mouth of the apostles. And it's this word that enrages the high priest and the council. And yet it takes one of the council members to point out the reality of the situation that we're reading of in this trial. This man, Gamaliel, that we read of, was a respected man, and it's in his history lesson that we see the truth of what the apostles are assigned to. Look at verse 35. Gamaliel says to the council, men of Israel, take care for what you're about to do with these men. For before these days, Judas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might be even found opposing God. Now these two individuals here that Gamaliel mentions, Theudas and Judas the Galilean, they are both attested to by historical scholars of that time. And Luke actually mentions the census here to help us place when the second uprising happens. It actually happens around the time of the birth of Jesus. And you can see that for yourself later if you look up Luke chapter 2 verses 1 to 3. But I want us to see something that is significant here about these two examples of Gamaliel before we look at his conclusion. Theudas, dead. What happened to his people? They scattered. Judas the Galilean, dead. What happened to his people? They scattered as well. But look at Jesus. The apostles say this. He died, but he rose from the dead. And yet nobody has denied Jesus' death at this point. But the apostles are proclaiming something more than that. More importantly, Jesus' death hasn't caused a scattering. Instead, it's caused a movement that can only be described as, if we use Gamaliel's words, the work of God. It is of God. Therefore, what we're seeing here in the book of Acts is, no matter what, the sovereign Lord's, God's word is final. His work cannot be stopped. And we see this as we conclude the book, or this chapter of the book of Acts. Despite giving the apostles a beating in verse 40, that is 39 lashes, and charging them not to speak any more of Jesus, look at how they respond in verse 41. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day, in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. And there's two things that we see here. Firstly, they rejoiced in being counted worthy to suffer, that is, to follow the footsteps of the one that they follow as Jesus. And they did not cease teaching and preaching the word of God, that Jesus is Lord. Now, suffering doesn't mean that doing the work of God is in vain. The apostles find courage and boldness to do the work of the Lord because they faced suffering once. And to face it again gave them the confidence that it was for obeying their Lord that they suffered. They knew that because of what happened to Jesus, they don't have to fear the worst that can come their way. They trusted in God, whose work is to grow his church through his word. And so there's a couple of things that we can take away from this passage. Firstly, this. We can have confidence in the Lord no matter what comes our way. The apostle's suffering is a testimony here that we can have confidence in the Lord, continue to preserve his people for his work, so long as it is his will. When John G. Patton was facing those numerous trials, including being surrounded by cannibalistic tribes, he later wrote these words about this moment. My heart rose up to the Lord Jesus. I saw him watching all the same. My peace came back to me like a wave from God. I realized that I was immortal until my master's work with me was done. The assurance came to me. that nothing would hurt me without the permission of Jesus Christ, who is all power in heaven and earth. He rules over all. Now just hear that again. I was immortal until my master's work with me was done. God's work is that he will build his church, and he will grow it through the means of his word, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for those of us here who are seeking to make that word known, wherever he would have us, that is his will. We can have confidence that we are to be where we are because of him. And so if you're in your office, then that's where the Lord would have you, to make known his son. If you find yourself redundant and out of work, then the Lord will have you somewhere else. And if you find yourself moving jobs, the Lord will have you there too. Wherever it is, and for whatever reason you think that you are there, the real truth is that God has you there for a reason. Anyone who is a follower of Jesus is to make him known wherever they are and whatever comes their way. Now, you might not think you're very good at sharing the gospel, or you don't have many opportunities in this high-octane, pressurized office culture that you work in. But remember the foundational truth that we've seen at the beginning. It is the Lord God who's at work in building his church. We are not his worksmen. We are his tools that he uses. And he will help you through the work of his Holy Spirit to equip you to speak of Jesus and what the Lord has done for you. Making known the good news of Jesus can be an intimidating thing, especially when the word of God is rejected. But the second thing that we can take away from Acts chapter 5 is that we are not to be ashamed when people reject Jesus as Lord. This will be expected, and hostility might eventually even come your way. But that's okay. Because even if that hostility results in you losing your job or find yourself ostracized in the office, you can rejoice in knowing that you've been obedient to the Lord, and in his eyes, you have done nothing wrong. When you obey him, rather than being peer pressured to not share his word, you will know the joy that is found in following the footsteps of the Lord Jesus. For unlike Graham Linehan, you're not voicing an opinion. You're joining with others across history and across the world, like the apostles, like John G. Patton, like Nikolai Romanyuk, who have all taken a stand to proclaim that Jesus is Lord. But if you're listening to this and you're not a Christian, then can I encourage you to see that this Jesus is worth following? Consider why people who call themselves Christians are suffering for proclaiming the good news of Jesus. Consider why the good news of Jesus is still going out 2,000 years after this incident. And consider why this news is important for you to hear today. Verses 30 to 31, we see there that Jesus died, he was raised to life, and so that we can repent and turn to God, and in turn to him, that we can find forgiveness of sin, and we can know him for ourselves. This is the words of life. This is a life that is joyful, and we will find joy in the Lord, just as those who join in on the work of the Lord. Because the work and the word of God cannot be stopped. And so we're to find joy in what it speaks of, and we're to take heart, for nothing and nobody can take that joy away if they stand against it. Let me pray. Father, thank you for these words of life. Thank you for this gospel that we can hold for ourselves and that we can hold out to others around us as well. Father, fill us with boldness. Help us to take courage and to take a stand. Even if the word of God is rejected, we thank you, Lord, that it cannot be arrested, but we can continue to spread it wherever we go. Thank you for the example of those who have gone before us, for the apostles, and for your people in the past, for even people today. Help us to follow Jesus like they are doing, and to know him, and to live for him, and to speak of him where you have us. Thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.